to order the Public Works Committee meeting. It is Thursday, March 7th. And acknowledge the press and public were duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. Councilmember Kinghorn is not present. He had a prior engagement. Is that on?
It's on. You need to move yours.
And everyone else who is appropriate is in attendance. First on the agenda is approval of previous meetings minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Okay, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Citizens' comments. First, before we get to that, I just want to recognize Bernard Bourdine for 18 years of service to the city.
Yeah, he will be leaving the end of this month. So, his wife, just briefly, his wife retired from MUSC, and he was able to, get his insurance and stuff squared away. He's been working on this retirement for probably 6 or 8 months. And once they've got it all figured out, then he's put in his notice.
Well, we will wish him well.
Yes.
Thank him for
us. Thank him, yes. And I'd like to see him and thank him in person. So.
Absolutely, we can do that.
Okay.
We will do that.
All right, yeah, that would be great.
At the full meeting?
Well, something. That would be great. Whatever works for him.
We'll certainly have something for him.
Okay, something that works for him that's not inconvenient. Okay, now, citizens' comments. Jim, I'm sorry.
Jim Wright, 3904 Cameron Boulevard. I've been studying the capital 10-year plan for the department, and I think we've got some decisions to make in 2021 through 2027 that we got quite a bit of capital we're going to have to outlay. If you look at it, in FY20 is 92.5, and in 21 is 184, and it goes all the way up to 315 in 2025. I think that the city and the residents have really enjoyed the advantages of what Donnie's done through the years as far as picking up stuff and moving whatever we put out on the streets. But I think it's going to get to the point where the city has to look at it from a perspective of a capital outlay and what's the true cost of public works. And if it means having a fee, if you're going to clean out your house and you're going to send a truck by there and you're going to, you know, fill up a truck or fill up two trucks, then there ought to be a fee for use of that or something so we can recapture some of that. But we've got some FY20 doesn't look like it's going to be that difficult at 92.5, but I think in the years to come from 21 through 25, we really need to look at it from a capital budget perspective and what the true cost is for removing trash and debris. So for what it's worth, I was just looking ahead a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other citizens' comment? Okay, on to department reports. Director Pitts.
All right. First off, on this dashboard, I did get the 2-year comparison corrected.
Thank you.
So I think Councilman Kinghorn will be happy. So for the month of February, 2-year garbage was down significantly, if you to 135 tons, and the 2-year yard debris was about the same, down just a bit. That could be a little bit of a timing issue. I would say it's pretty flat. Action items. You can see with the high tide, we had a breach in the stormwater pipe within that construction zone. It filled the
phase two?
No.
Oh.
In the UST, the underground storage tank.
At the marina.
At the marina.
Okay.
It actually filled up the where the new tanks were, but they were full of water already, so they didn't float. The contractor caught it, put the bucket on top of the breach, and then we pumped out all of the water and was able to get that secured. They did repair that breach. The other thing was we found an error in this exhaust pipe. Now we know why there's an error. I was to meet with Travis yesterday, did not get that done. Travis is the fire marshal. There's some regulations with exhaust in proximity to electrical, within 3 feet. So we may not have any other choice but to put that exhaust away from that center island at the marina. But before we make that final, I talked to Travis. Is there any way to offset that pipe so that because land is a premium down there, and the marina manager would like to have it within that little island. I would like that as well. But if the fire marshal, if we can't do it, we can't do it. But if we could offset it somewhere to get 3 foot off so that everything's safe, then we're going to try to do that before we make that final decision.
Thank you for being on top of it.
Is there a date that we kind of are shooting for to have that project complete?
I think they're probably 5 or 6 weeks out. It's like building a house. You see all this activity, and then you see the tanks go in, and you think, wow, we're getting close. And then they start drywalling and the finish work, and then it's like, you know, yeah. Watching paint dry. So we're still a good ways out. So anyway, that was the two action items. The miscellaneous debris was 22.68 tons. Highlight, I guess, for the month of February was trying to get that parking lot ready for March 1st. We were able to get that done. Vehicle maintenance, we had a large expense with the 2001 flatbed. But I think this flatbed now is in the shape where we're going to get 5 or 6 more years out of it. We rebuilt the two cylinders. We took it to Conway, had them rebuilt. So that's the major cylinders that lift the bed up. So now it's got a complete PMs on it, as well as the new cylinders. And although it's a Mack but made by Renault, that's why it's expensive, because a lot of these parts have to come from France. It's in good shape and running, and hopefully we can get 5 or 6 more years out of it. So that'll be a 25-year-old truck. Wow. Aesthetically, it's in pretty good shape, and now mechanically, it's in pretty good shape. So that's really the biggest expense. We're going to be very close, in my opinion, on the budget by the end of the June. I'm hoping to stay within that $85,000 total, but it's going to be really close because of this $7,000 hit. My fleet's in pretty good shape right now with all PMs completed.
Did you get your new truck?
We ordered
them.
Yeah, when is that expected?
We ordered them.
Couple months.
Yeah.
Usually.
Okay.
So, they were ordered.
Okay.
That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
We all ready at Front Beach for Front Beach Fest? Down there?
25 yellow barrels are being painted as we speak. Mm-hmm. And we will deliver the regular green garbage containers extra up there tomorrow. I don't want to do it too early.
My question about recycling, are you hearing anything from, does that have any the ramifications of them not having a place to send recycling? Does that have any ramifications for us in the immediate future?
You're talking about the facility that the county uses?
Right, and the fact that, I mean, just in general, everybody's coming to the realization that there's nobody really wants recycling materials right now. There's not a demand for them. It seems to be causing kind of a crisis of what to do with all of that stuff.
So I can tell you what I know. I know that Charleston County sends their recycling to Horry County. Mm-hmm. there are times when Horry County can't take it, so Charleston County Recycle goes into the landfill.
So that's just the short-term solution?
Well, short-term has been multi-years now.
Multi-year. Okay, that's unfortunate.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to old business update on phase two drainage.
Well, the project is moving along. They continue working on the landscaping and the restoration of some of the driveways. We held the monitoring meeting with the Rural Infrastructure Authority, and they're finalizing the report. We had all the documentation that we needed to have available. We took her, Jackie Calvi Mack, she's the program manager that oversees our project. We took her to the site, and we were able, she was able to see it. It was raining that day, so although it was a little uncomfortable, we could see that there was no standing water on the avenues. And we spent almost a whole morning with her, and she went through all of our documentation, and there were no issues. We had all the documents that we needed. We were able to answer any questions, so we are moving along very well. We're going to be wrapping that up really, really soon.
Like in March, do we think?
David is here, yes. We think that everything should be done by the end of March.
Everything okay. Seems to be working. We're waiting on some final answers.
Okay. Update on ditches and drainage issues.
I have a quick update on the Burke easement.
Okay.
The county deployed this week, and they have the expectation, barring any weather events, to be completed by mid-March. They have done some excavation in the ditch and some cleaning, so they are actually working there this week.
Is that the one at 32nd?
32nd. 32nd. And then the other county that they were going to come and do work, 25th and...
Desiree, I think she's asking about DOT.
Oh, SCDOT.
Oh, DOT, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, so you all recall that we submitted about 9 projects to SCDOT. They deployed on Monday. They've completed 7 of the 9, and they're working on the last 2. They've been very visible all around the island.
I saw them on our street.
Yeah, it's good. And then the schedule for the remaining of the year follows, you know, they're going to be here all week this week, and then they're coming back first week of June, then coming back in September and December. So it's every 3 months they're going to continue to come. A very similar situation where they're going to send 7 to 8 crews, and they're going to be here for a full week. So we're going to be working on that second list of projects that we want them to work on when they return in June.
Super.
Okay. Any other ditch updates?
Other than Edie's is still continuing the regular maintenance cycle.
Okay.
And I had a question, and we had discussed by email that concern on 21st. Mm-hmm. Can you review what the situation is there?
I don't have that on the agenda. Is that one that we had talked about before?
It's a new one. Have we talked about?
No, but you're on the agenda. You're talking about ditches and drainage issues.
Okay,
so it's well within.
Okay,
yeah, we
awesome.
Can talk about
okay,
it.
That's what I figured.
Okay.
So the 21st Avenue ditch, after research, we found out that it's not a ditch, but we all see the ditch. Douglas and I, we looked at the maps.
Existential.
We talked to the county, and this particular ditch does have the ability to accept some low-lying areas between 21st and 22nd Avenue. There's going to be a process of trying to get easements before we can do anything, and we're working on that.
So right now that ditch that's not really a ditch doesn't have an easement, so we can't really do any work on it until we obtain an easement from the property owner. So we're going to be initiating those conversations. That would require some surveying, getting a deed agreement in place, and have that reported before we can get any work done. But we don't expect any major issues. Donnie and Douglas have been in contact with the property owner and have, you know, starting that conversation. But we found out, we checked with the county, checked with the city, and there's no easement. So
okay.
That's the first hiccup that we're going to have to address before we can do any work there.
So that ditch that's not a ditch, does it run the entire length of 21st, or at least all the to the church, I think, at least?
No, so that's perpendicular to the ditch behind the church. Mm-hmm. This ditch that's in question crosses or ties into the 21st Avenue stormwater drain, which is a covered on the street side of the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
It ties into that. There's a collection box right there, and it goes down the side of the property, similar to the Burke Ditch. If you were to think of the Burke Ditch extending straight through to 21st,
mm-hmm.
it would be on that.
Okay. Oh, about
that. And that's the ditch in question.
Okay. I was thinking it was running behind. It's more the...
There's a swell behind it, behind the church,
yes.
Running down. That's the low area.
Right.
And this particular ditch that's not a ditch does accept some of that low-lying water.
Okay.
And we may be able to use MBDES funds to make the improvements there once we have the easement reported and all that.
Okay.
Has there been any communication with the county, with them coming back to any of the ditches that had been, that we had been concerned about on Hartnett and 30th and some of those?
Not yet, no.
No, okay. Okay, moving on to C, update on proposal from residents to install a flap gate on Tabby Lane. So we have this in our packet. Do you want
That proposal is in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall last month, the owners came
mm-hmm.
before the committee and committed to covering the cost of the construction and requested the city to participate in the engineering cost. So we've received two proposals, one from Thomas at Hutton, not to exceed $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had another one from CSC for
mm-hmm.
not to exceed $10,000. So we would recommend approving the Thomas and Hutton proposal and not to exceed $7,500. And we could use funds from our drainage contingency to cover that expense.
Okay, I'd like to make that in the form of a motion.
I'll second that.
All right, and this will be, we will cover the expenses and they will cover the cost of the construction.
Yes, the city will cover the engineering and design expense not to exceed $7,500.
Okay.
And then they would be responsible for the construction cost.
Okay, and do we have a time frame on any of this?
Douglas, do we have a time frame from Thomas and Hutton?
Or for when we think this all could be completed?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
I wouldn't expect that it would take too long.
Okay.
Which seems relatively
okay.
simple, but I...
Because it would be in this budget year
mm-hmm.
that we're in,
yeah,
which
would
end...
Yeah, I think it would be done by
yeah.
this budget.
Okay.
At least all the right. engineering and the design.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Ayes have it. Do we need any other discussion on that, or can we move on? D, update on repairs needed at Marginal Road. Donnie, I was just wondering if we had heard, because we were waiting to hear if maybe the county would participate in this. Because it's really sinking. It's getting worse every...
At 8:51
mm-hmm.
this morning, I've got
Hot
the...
Hot off the press.
Yes. So, a little background.
Yes.
I talked to Keith Eady, that's the owner of Eady's,
mm-hmm.
about 2.5 weeks ago. I think that, Eady's is very busy, but I think they let this one slip through the cracks. So he had Brian, who is the project manager for phase two, meet with me back on Marginal Road. This is the second Eady's, second time Edie's has met with me on there, over there. And Brian got with Kip. Kip was out with the flu. So I pressed him on it Friday. Pressed him again Monday. I wanted something for this meeting, a number. He said he would have it yesterday. This morning at 8:35, I called looking for it, and he was on site, Kip, and he had me a number, and that number is to, and there's no details, but he says this is asphalt, so you got to cut across the street, mm-hmm. replace the joints, put in a flap gate. It's going to be his proposal, $27,500.
Is that in line with what you would expect, or?
That's with that cross cut, and that's probably four joints, and a flap gate.
I'm very happy.
Actually. And the labor.
So where are we on our contingency drainage fund at the moment? Do we know? I've had my.
We were at 62, roughly 62,000.
Okay.
That's where we were going to take the 7,500. So.
Right.
I'd have to go back and see if there's any projects.
We need, I mean, this
is
terrible. It's a critical spot.
I think that we can cover it through our contingency. I'd like to just go back and see if there's anything else that's been coded to that line since last month.
Right. And I'd like to get a comprehensive, did you just see something?
It's a shadow.
Okay.
Of a bird.
So I think.
An actual. You know, will he send us something?
Yes, he's working on that. But this is a quick and dirty number.
Okay.
And I think we need to exhaust or investigate the county helping, getting other proposals. I know that's going to lengthen the process, but I think it would be up for us to do diligence.
Right. Absolutely. But I also think we need to keep in mind that we've got to get this fixed before the next king tide, like fall cycles, because it is, it's getting worse by the week.
I totally agree with that.
Okay. So will you work on getting everything and maybe asking the county if they'll help? And
yeah, we've asked DOT. We haven't got a response from DOT yet.
Is that
into a DOT ditch.
Right, but is the road, who owns that road? Marginal Road.
I think that's, we'll have to do some research.
Yeah.
We may be able to approve a not to exceed number.
Mm-hmm.
We already have this proposal. I'm trying to figure out if the, I think that the procurement code would allow, if it's deemed an emergency, project, we could, I mean, if it's over 25,000, the procurement code requires us to go through a competitive bidding process unless it's an emergency project. I think that we could, for the sake of time, make a motion, approve a not to exceed number, and between now and Ways and Means, we can try to get a similar number from the county,
okay.
at least to compare, and that way we can move the
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion that we approve a not to exceed amount of $30,000 for repairs needed at Marginal Road, where the drainage is at a severe problem and is deemed an emergency.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
But could you clearly state what the urgency and the potential emergency is here, and the ramifications if we don't act quickly.
The failure of Marginal Road would be it's a safety issue. The road's caving in.
The actual
road's caving in. Yeah, it's caving in. Yeah, you should go look at it.
So that's on the opposite from where the houses are.
No, but, they're houses.
The road, it's not on the side of the...
So you have the 41st ditch,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a side road,
mm-hmm.
and that that stormwater system intersects that road,
mm-hmm.
and ties into the bigger ditch.
Right.
That section from the drop inlet on the, in a lady's front yard,
uh-huh.
from that drop inlet to the flap gate that's failed... And the Marginal Road is caving in.
It's caving in.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, alrighty.
Yeah, you can see.
I'll go bike down there and see. I just occasionally go, but I don't really spend much time in that spot.
It's scary.
Okay.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the ayes have it. All right, moving on to consideration of ordinance 2019-04, an ordinance amending Title III, Public Works, Chapter 4, Single-Use Plastic Bags. Do you want to update us on this one?
Yes, so last month this ordinance was presented to City Council for second reading, and it was decided to defer action until we had the opportunity to meet with some of the hospitality folks that this would directly affect. And we've scheduled that meeting for this Monday, where we're going to have a representative from the COG to talk about the public transit initiative and also about the plastic bags. So I'm working on a one-pager to sort of, you know, hit the highlights and address some of the questions that have been raised so far. And again, that's going to happen this Monday at 9 here at City Hall.
Okay.
Last week, the mayor and I traveled to Columbia to attend a Senate hearing about the plastic bag ban. You all know that the General Assembly has been looking at
banning the bans.
Mm-hmm. And they basically raised two issues. One being, you know, some of those folks believe that it's not necessarily a plastic issue, it's more of an enforcement issue, which, you know, we can argue both sides. It's certainly something that affects it, but the other thing is that they're concerned about is the consistency and lack of consistency between the ordinances that have been passed in different municipalities. I think that is something that could be easily addressed by just, you know, convening everybody and trying to, those are details that I think could be easily addressed. A lot of folks just wanted to have something in the books before the General Assembly acted on these on the plastic bag ban, and that's, I think, the reason why some of the municipalities didn't really spend a lot of time in researching or making sure that these ordinances are consistent with one another. They're fairly consistent. I think that the distinctions lie mostly in the thickness of the bag. The city of Charleston went from 2.25 mils to 4 mils, and 4 mils is sort of the equivalent of a Trader Joe's tote bag. 2.2 is the equivalent of a Apple Store bag, so it's thicker than a regular plastic bag, which is 0.5 mils. Our ordinance has always been 2.25 mils. Town of Mount Pleasant is 2.25 mils, and Sullivan's Island is 2.25 mils. So I don't think that there's any advocacy, I think, on our end to go up to 4, but that's certainly a possibility. There were also questions about not including, as part of the exceptions, the drink lids and the to-go condiments. That would make us, and that's I think it was a recommendation made by this committee before their ordinance passed first reading, to include that as part of those items that would be regulated, and those folks would have to provide reusable or recyclable options for those two. Our hospitality folks and food and beverage raised some concerns about that, because that would really make us very distinct from all of the other municipalities. And questions about the practicality of having drink lids and having to-go condiments be available. If I think that my recommendation would be, I think that ideally we wanted to sort of go above and beyond what everybody else was doing, but in the sake of consistency, it might be worth considering accepting. Including that as part of the exemptions and being consistent with our neighboring municipalities. So that is, you know, something that, you know, for you all to consider and discuss whether or not you think that it's worth reevaluating. Mm-hmm. And that would make us consistent with Mount Pleasant, would make us consistent with Folly, with Sullivan's Island, with the city of Charleston.
I think we have to do that.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Yeah. I mean, I'll make a motion that we reverse our original recommendation to not allow exemptions for lids, drink lids, and condiments, and instead allow for those exemptions so that they can be used by our businesses for their customers.
Okay, I'll second it.
The other distinction between our ordinance and the Oh, you have a motion.
Yeah, we have.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So we
can discuss that. I mean, yeah. I think we need to be consistent.
Yes,
so that,
I agree.
So that it's not okay.
And I did not realize when we discussed it before that would set us apart.
Me neither.
From I agree that consistency is important and is important as we have this conversation with the general.
And it doesn't mean we can't in the future get better and better and better, but we've got to start somewhere.
Well, and that's the other thing.
Right.
At this point, those two things logistically would be difficult.
Right.
So.
Right.
And it would be ideal if all of the municipalities, you know, at the state level, everybody could sort of agree on some minimum requirements, and whenever somebody's considering being a little bit more restrictive, for that to be a comprehensive approach rather than...
Right. I think that's idealism, unfortunately. All right, we have a motion on the table. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay.
The other thing that I think there was some question raised by some council members after first reading of the ordinance was the restriction that's in place in Sullivan's Island on Folly Beach from these plastic, you know, everything that we're regulating through the ordinance. Restricting their use on the beach. We would be compared to Folly and Sullivan's, we are not including that restriction from our ordinance. And I believe that the mayor had expressed some interest in exploring that and evaluating whether or not the city wants to include that as part of this ordinance as an amendment or, so I don't know if this committee would like to talk about.
I would like to discuss it.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to discuss it, but I don't know if I'm ready to.
And I, you know, we had a short discussion about this, I think previously, and I had some, I had reservations about how viable it was to enforce that on the beach. And so for that reason, I didn't really advance it. But I think it is worth noting that Sullivan's and Folly both have incorporated this because they feel... Well, I don't believe they actively enforce it. It gives them more legitimacy in asking their visitors to be careful with the packaging that they're bringing to the beach. And have heard, you know, from advocates of the whole plastics, restricting plastics effort, that can be a good public tool. Or a good tool, a good sign, an important sign to the public that we're serious about this issue. So knowing that the mayor is also motivated on this front, I'm open to it and think we should at least present it to the full council for discussion. But I would potentially recommend it. As a, you know, see if we wanted to recommend it as a committee.
Okay. I think we should discuss it at council.
Okay.
I'd also like to hear from the public safety side what they think, and we're
good
sort
point.
Of in the flux of, so before I make any decisions, I kind of would like to hear what they have to say.
I understand that as well.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a good point that we should... Because they would be the ones that would be
policing it,
and I think you have some input from the other municipalities about how they approach it. Correct?
Yeah. Yes, I reached out to Folly just to get some input of on how they handle this, and their focus is not necessarily enforcement. They continue with public awareness and public education, so I don't think that they have issued any citations when they see somebody using a styrofoam cooler on the beach, but they feel like it gives them more teeth and rather than relying on people's good faith and goodwill and saying, well, I'm not going to bring this to the beach, they find it a lot easier to say, it's not allowed, don't bring it, or can't sell it on the island. So I don't think that the focus necessarily would be to have people patrolling the beach and issuing citations whenever somebody is found to have, one of these items. But it's sort of, and I think Kelly Thorpleson from the South Carolina Aquarian also argued that sometimes, having that in the books, you know, in the city code as a regulation. It helps the city just, you know, have a more stricter approach to what items are allowed on the beach and which are not.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to the discussion at council, and we can amend it.
And I would add that there is some value, I think, in the consistency of the Charleston, immediate Charleston area beaches all doing the same thing for from a public messaging standpoint, and that we could maybe even come together on some public service announcements.
That would be good.
I'm curious, though, about, I think we had discussed just trying to take the things that we're restricting at point of sale with our businesses and using that as the same features that we would be restricting at the beach. And would that include polystyrene coolers then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That was my main. Because I think that is actually a place where we could make a difference on the beach if we stopped people from bringing polystyrene coolers, because once those get into the ocean environment, get swept away into the ocean, they get broken up into a million gazillion
pieces.
That's
the inside of a sea turtle's stomach. Oh,
that's heartbreaking. So, yes.
That's all
plastic. From a Time magazine photo.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear from advocates is that polystyrene is
all plastic
potentially
floating
the worst.
In the ocean.
Material because of the way it breaks up and becomes very fine particles of plastic in the ocean and really permeates our ecosystem. So, all right, I think that's
twice the size of Texas, this island of plastic floating.
Mm-hmm.
Should be our motivation.
Yes, it should. But and then on top of it, it's also a tourism issue. I mean, it's a beautification issue.
Oh, it's just
And it's something that
if it's like if not us, then who?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
like
clean,
if we don't care, who's gonna care?
And clean beaches also means you know, people are going to enjoy,
of course,
visiting us more.
Right.
So
that is just those pictures are just horrifying.
I would like for city council to really evaluate extending it and. You know, again, making it, we would be consistent with Solvins Island and Folly Beach. And
we can always do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can we can keep trying, and our goal should be to keep doing more, more, more to make it better.
Yes.
So, okay. I think we've talked about that. New business, request from 48th Avenue LLC to tie into city's drainage system. David, are you here?
We're
representing...
Yes,
David Stevens here to represent.
I'll give a quick background, background. 48th Avenue is a private road, and as you all know, it was not included as part of the Phase 2 drainage system. They had reached out to the city about several months ago about their interest in becoming, asking what process they needed to follow in order to become part of the system and provide some relief to the flooding issue on their road. So they've contracted with David and CSC for them to engineer and design a system to collect their runoff and tie it into our system. David has talked about this before, how, you know, when they designed Phase 2 drainage, they accounted for additional capacity, considering that in the future we would have the interest of 47th and 48th. So that is what we have here in front of you. They've provided a letter to the city requesting permission. David can talk a little bit about the details, and I will say that we would require, and we've asked our city attorney to start thinking about a maintenance agreement. They would have to be responsible for properly maintaining the system within their private road to ensure that it does not compromise the city's overall system. So that would be part of all this initiative.
Yeah, the system, we originally did phase one and two of the drainage. In phase two, 48, Citadel, and 47. Those streets were all taken into account to route our drainage. It's not going to impact or flood anything. It's been accounted for. So this is not an additional flow into the system.
Mm-hmm.
This was already planned to happen. Because and normally these things happen. I'm curious to see when the Civicals go jump on board or what they're going to do. But once you finish these projects and they see how successful they are, mm-hmm. I mean, take phase one drainage. Mm-hmm. What problems have we had?
Zero.
What problems have we had since phase two started, once
Zero.
We cut it loose?
Mm-hmm. Only 48.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm just glad we included them in it. Mm-hmm. It needs...
Smart.
It's the same design we did on the rest of it. There's nothing cheaper, worse. It's the exact same design as we used on the rest of the system. So we need a letter from y'all for them to tie into the DOT system is what we're really asking for, mm-hmm. because it's part of Alapalm's drainage system, and the city has to maintain the system.
So
that was the stipulation of phase one and two.
My only question is, I just noticed that their LLC is from 2012. And is it the same people living there?
LLC that's living there. As far as I know,
okay.
It's the same people who fought y'all to have the road taken away from the from the state or whoever owned it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no
denying. I just wondered
that.
If
that's
any of the players
that's why they
had
weren't
changed.
Included. In the original design.
Right, I know. I just was wondering if any of the players had changed and if the LLC can still be...
The LLC can still stand the way it
okay,
is.
Okay, even
we,
though it's different residents?
We had to send it to the state and everyone else, that's fine. The members of the LLC, I assume, can change with the ownership of the property. I don't know. I'm an attorney. I'm not an attorney. That's not my problem.
Anyway, that was just...
Question about construction timeline. Have y'all discussed when construction would happen?
As soon as we get an encroachment permit, they're going to want to start.
Okay.
I can't get an encroachment permit until I get a letter from you. And then I can't get OCR approval until that gets approved. And then
so my only other question is it going to come out? Are they going to have to do construction on Palm?
All they're going to have to do is tie into an existing junction box on Palm.
I just worry about traffic in the spring and summer.
The main pipe has already been installed parallel to Palm.
Okay.
All they're going to do is a junction box sitting right on their corner. They have to tie into that, just like we did on all the other streets.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be
disruptive. No,
yeah.
We don't.
No.
And they're handling that cost?
Yes.
Tying in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We just have to have your permission since you...
Okay.
And they knew this from the beginning, from the get-go. And so did this. We talked about this a long time ago, even before she got here. I mean, we knew what it was going to be. Once we got it they were going to come knocking on the door. So
they see the advantage of what was happening around them.
Okay.
David did reach out to them when we were designing the system, and there was no interest at that time to participate until they started seeing, the pipes on the ground. And
their motivation for consciously opting out was what?
That was a very lengthy legal case that I can.
We don't need to go.
Yes.
We don't need to go there.
All right. No. So what we need from them still is...
We need the city to approve that.
Right,
so that
but we need
oh,
right, we, from
it,
them.
As part of the letter of approval, we would enter into a maintenance agreement with the LLC.
Okay.
And we're working... We would, after city council approves this, I didn't want to spend any legal money without knowing what the approach would be, although this is something I fully recommend the city doing.
Yes.
We've been working with and putting together an agreement that the city would enter with the property owners to ensure that they understand that they are responsible for the maintenance of that portion on the road.
Do you need a motion
you go for it.
To recommend to full council that we approve this request from 48th Avenue LLC to tie into the city's drainage system.
At their cost,
and assuming that they will take all responsibility of maintenance in the future.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Do you have a second?
Second.
All right.
Said it, right?
Susan's
motion.
Okay, so all second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank
you, David, so
thank
much.
You.
Surely.
All right.
And thank you for thinking ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank goodness we had the ability.
You knew that was coming.
To do it,
right?
To go through Wild Dunes. That
right.
was a real key.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm surprised the Citadel. I thought they had already.
They,
because they came.
To them,
yeah.
They're still looking at, you know, they had a system designed previously to use infiltration. Is what I think they'll end up, and when that fails, they'll come knocking on the door sooner or later.
Things don't happen so fast.
And we have capacity
that's
for them
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
47.
See y'all.
Thank
Bye.
You.
David, thank you.
All right, and this next item, just Dominion Energy's tree trimming schedule.
So SCENG,
well, not the tree
trimming
now,
bit.
The way
know.
They do it, it's just
oh,
horrible.
Is it a cigar? Okay.
Oh, my, it's terrible.
Oh, that's true. It is always
it's
something
not trimming,
that's
it's
just
mutilating.
It is mutilating.
Okay. Well, as part of the 5-year cycle to ensure public safety and ahead of the hurricane season, they will be performing some pruning work on the island.
Pruning.
This year, the total trimming will occur roughly 17.4 miles around the Isle of Palms. It'll take roughly 2 months to complete.
When are they starting?
We don't know yet. They're working their way in. They're first doing City of Charleston. They're doing West Ashley now. Then they'll go to Mount Pleasant,
just,
and then they're coming here.
I mean, can we? Is there any dialogue where we can ask them to be somewhat conscious of how they're?
It is. They have. I've met with them twice, and it is shocking. You see the pictures. Their contractor right now is Lewis Tree, and I think that there was a location within West Ashley that became very controversial.
Oh, it's just...
And what I've asked of them is to hold a public workshop here on the island, where they, you know, the SCENG folks would come, the contractor comes. Sometimes they're able to do a demonstration for folks before, you know, in advance of them coming here. They are very used to the reaction that this gets from the community whenever they come. And, you know, I think that they recognize that, and it puts them in a very difficult position because they, you know, I think that we all recognize how, you know, they're doing it as a preventative maintenance ahead of hurricane season. And again, this is a 5-year cycle, but, you know, they have a very thorough public education campaign. They've agreed to hold a public workshop here on the island.
Okay.
They're going to be sending property owners some notifications by email, by mail, ahead of when they start. So they, I think they're preparing as much as possible. I think that regardless of all of that, it'll still be shocking.
It's mutilation.
So this is to make sure that power line, essentially
yes.
to protect the power line
Correct.
Investment
mm-hmm.
and make sure that when storms come through,
mm-hmm.
they're not vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to branches and that kind of thing.
That's,
right.
That's
so,
right. That's,
so that's all over every potentially every street that has power lines.
It's just,
could
it's
see
very horrifying when you see it. Like if you look in Riverland Terrace, South Windermere burns down,
mm-hmm.
anywhere where they're, it's, I mean, they just.
And they just come
they
in.
They just go
and
just, I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's really alarming.
So it's not like you're going to get an advance notice that they might be in your yard trimming
they
trees.
They will send advance notice
oh, they do.
To
okay.
everybody that's within.
But they just cut it how they want to cut it is the thing. I mean, you can't, even if it's your tree,
mm-hmm.
it's just, if they have to take off half the tree, they take off half the tree.
Okay.
So we will...
It's going to cause a lot of uproar. I'm just...
Yes.
I'm just warning you. People get... It's very alarming.
Is this usually restricted to trees in the right-of-way, I guess? Or could
it's
it
in their
be
easement.
Even interior?
In, yeah, the right-of-way, their easements, and anything that's close
to
power
a power
lines.
Line.
I mean, this is to ensure electric
okay.
system reliability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we recognize that,
mm-hmm.
so we're going to very soon start pushing some messaging out
Good.
And pictures, before and after pictures, so that people sort of have a realistic expectation of what's going to happen. I think we're going to be advertising and really pushing the workshop so that folks can come and meet the contractor, meet the SCENG folks,
mm-hmm.
Answer any questions that they may have. However, recognizing that we can do all that and it'll still be very shocking and emotional. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, trees that are a very emotional issue on the island.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is important for them to do. This is a good thing.
Yeah, and they're going to come and do it.
They're going to come and do it. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to.
Maybe it's also an opportunity.
Minimize the.
We'll try to minimize the shock factor, mm-hmm. at least by giving people as much notice as possible.
Maybe it's also an opportunity ahead of hurricane season to remind homeowners, mm-hmm. that they might want to also take stock of their trees and how they can affect their houses in a hurricane situation. So they might want to do their own trimming, or hire someone to do their own trimming. Something we need to do at our house.
Okay. No other new business? Anything else? Okay. Next meeting.
Oh, and I can't... I cannot meet on...
April 4th?
Yeah, April 4th, if there's room to switch it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. No, I can.
You can.
I have a wedding. It's later in the day, though. I should be able to meet in the morning.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, we continuing with Thursday mornings?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right with everybody?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay, hopefully Ted will be. Will you let me know if that works for him?
Okay.
So our next meeting will be Thursday, April 4th at 9 a.m. And if we have nothing else, a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.